Well, we delve into people wanting to be taken care of, which is scaring me.
Yes.
And
I don't understand it.
You don't understand it, and they don't understand what you want to do.
Yeah.
That's the scary part, the people who want to be taken care of.
But we talk, I think, about schools and how they generate all this, right?
That's my thought. Also, what we would be doing if we weren't doing this. First, Roman. Talking about erectile dysfunction, not easy. We blame ourselves or we brush it off or we make excuses. With Roman, it's easy to talk with a real doctor who can prescribe real medication. Get a free online evaluation and ongoing care from the comfort and privacy of your own home. If medication is appropriate, Roman will send you free 2-day shipping, by the way, and you can visit GetRoman.com/ADS. Get a complete online visit, straightforward, simple, and discreet. Just go to GetRoman.com/ADS. You can get a free online visit and free 2-day shipping as well. That's GetRoman.com/ADS for a free visit, and you can get started at GetRoman.com/ADS.
The holidays are around the corner. It's time to drink too much, eat too much, and fight about Trump at the dinner table. Luckily, we've got just what you need to make the most of this most wonderful time of the year. Introducing the Corolla Christmas Stocking. The custom embroidered stocking is adorned with the hand-knit word, acehole, sewed on by talented elves and or children from the Orient. What's inside? Glad you asked. With your purchase of the Corolla Christmas Stocking, you'll get an ACS Nativity Scene t-shirt featuring Max Apata as baby Jesus and Adam as Mother Mary, a custom Happy Birthday Jesus ornament, 4 Corolla Drinks wine glasses, plus 2 bottles of your choice, all for only $99. And for those who want to go big for the holiday season, you can also purchase the Stocking Scrapbook Combo for only $175. Get the stocking and the 10 years of ACS scrapbook, signed by the entire network for the ultimate Corolla fan in your life. So get to CorollaDrinks.com today and get ready. The holidays are coming.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. Andrew, and over there, Dr. Drew over there. I want to thank GetRoman.com, Simply Safe, LifeLock, and Pluto TV for sponsoring this program. I have thoughts. You have thoughts, Drew?
I do. You want to start?
I had a nice, interesting... I had a nice moment with Sonny. Mm. We went and saw the Ford v Ferrari movie.
Uh-huh.
And he said, you're not going to race Daytona, are you? I said, I don't know. I would if they let me, you know? And he's like, oh. And he actually had some concern. It was nice. Really? I'm on a roll. Natalia thanked me the other day.
What?
Yeah.
For what?
Lynette told her to, but okay. She still thanked me. Went to New York to see Bruce on Kimmel with Lynette, and she thanked me.
Hmm.
It's a big deal. Yeah.
It's a moment.
Yeah. Little things mean a lot. I have other thoughts as well, but I'll let you go. Go ahead.
Well, I retweeted something Joe Rogan tweeted this a couple days ago, and he was talking to – he wrote a really nice long discussion. When Biden came out and said that he was not going to allow cannabis to be legalized because it was might be a gateway drug, and I thought Rogan had some good – you know, it was the usual rhetoric about it not being so, but he included in it a discussion about – essentially, how much of a nanny state are we going to have with our federal government? You know what I mean? How much are you going to tell people how to live their life? And cannabis has become one of those sort of points where this issue crystallizes a bit. And I thought it was a nice discussion about it. And I started thinking about how much our federal government has gotten away from its original intent. You know, I mean, it was designed to form a union amongst the states. That's really all it was supposed to do. Form a more perfect union, alignment of the states. We fought a civil war over its set alignment.
I have a – I'm trying to get to the – I'm trying to really get to the origins of a lot of this stuff, right? Like what? Why?
Well, I think – go ahead. You tell me
what you think. Not the origins of the United States.
The nanny stuff.
Why are we swinging this way?
I think I have a theory why.
I have a theory too.
Go ahead. Go.
There's a I always quote Dennis Prager, but he says, you know, people yearn to be free. Most people yearn to be taken care of.
Oof.
They want to be taken care of.
They think they do.
Well, they don't realize the downside of that. But they have a yearning to be taken care of, right? Mm-hmm. And in the past, this country was go to the farm, go to the mill, go to the thing, go stake your claim, go take a wagon west, you know. Go invent something. Go build a factory and sell cars. You know, it was whatever. All right. We were not – we have strived to be education, education, and more education.
Right.
And so everyone is like – then 25 years ago, I have the first person in my family to go to college. I'm so proud. We're so proud. We're all going to college. Education, education, education. Education is a little slice of socialism in our capitalist environment.
In terms of the just the philosophy of education or the way we've taken care of education?
Well, it's the way we do it.
Yeah.
It's the way we do it.
Okay.
Like, are you taking
and to be fair, there was never any sort of my understanding, an explicit mandate for this in the Constitution. Right.
We don't need a Department of Education. But well, by the way, whatever we have, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
But the point is this.
Interesting.
All right. So what is this little slice of socialism? Well, the little slice of socialism in this capitalist world is if you get involved with the education system, if you are saying, I'm going to be a teacher, I'm going to be an administrator. And by the way, you know, what's growing is not the teachers, it's the administration, it's the unions, it's the bureaucracy, all mobbed up with the politicians, all against vouchers and school choice and anything that would remove money from their pocket.
Yeah.
So if you make that decision philosophically, Drew, see, to you and me and the guys I watch football with on Sunday, socialism being taken care of is not attractive.
No.
What is very attractive is going out and staking your claim and making your own business and challenging yourself.
Freedom to do that.
Freedom to do that. Okay.
Less encumbrance, the better.
Okay. So if you are attracted to the profession of teaching or being an administrator or whatever it is, if you enter the campus, if you say, I'm going to make $49,000 a year for the rest of my life. I get 3 months off. I can't be fired, essentially. And I'm never going to get rich, but I'll be taken care of and I'll retire at 63 with full benefits for the rest. I've made this deal. Essentially, I made a deal. My deal is I've kind of tapped out of the competition part of life instead. And we all make these deals. Look, there's a show business version of it. You want to go off and do your own thing and make independent this and that, or you want to sign a long-term contract with so-and-so? You know what I mean? There's versions. The point is this. It is an entire group of people who are attracted to that decision. Mm-hmm. They went, I'm going over here.
Uh-huh.
Now, that doesn't sound good to us, but for those who want to be taken care of, well, it does sound pretty good. Now,
and there's also risk aversion in there. There's two things.
Risk aversion.
Two things.
100% risk.
It may not be taken care of, but at least risk aversion, yeah.
Risk aversion.
Yeah.
Now, you can say, okay, what about the group that legitimately loves kids and wants to impact the kids and this, that, and the other? And I go, that's part of them. Uh-huh. But that's not all the administrators and all the other people. And then if you legitimately love kids, then why do you vote against school choice every year? Why does your union vote against choice? If it's all about the kids, I don't know if it's all about the kids. Why are you voting to shut down something that's effective for the kids? And the system's run like shit. The schools are failing. I really, the administrators that are getting the money, are they really that concerned about the kids? I don't think they are. I will carve out a small group who loves kids, but that ain't the lion's share. As I've always said, and this isn't my adage, but when people say you go into a group of a crowded auditorium, you go, you know, 500 people in an auditorium, raise your hand if you had a teacher that made a difference. And everyone raises their hand. They go, now raise your hand if you had two teachers that made a difference. And half the people's hands go down. And by the time you get to three teachers, everyone's hands are down. So how great are they? How generous are they? Are they all about the kids? Is it all about that? Now, you go into a system, you are then brought into this system. Those people share their ideas with the kids who go into the system. They have to.
Yeah.
If they were all vegetarians, they wouldn't teach a class on being a vegetarian. It's just what would happen if all vegetarians worked at schools or all people were Raiders fans who worked there. At some point, your kid would come home and he'd go, I want a Raiders jersey. And you'd go,
Where'd that come from?
or meat is murder when you're barbecuing, right? And you go, where did that come from? So they're in a system. The system is sort of socialist by nature.
Yeah.
All the people who are attracted to it have basically said we're risk averse. And now you go all the way through the system and those people are now running the colleges and all the new fresh batches of kids are now entering. So where do you think this is coming from?
Right.
And is there going to be more of it? Of course there's going to be more of it. If there were a whole bunch of people that just went out, started their own businesses and staked their claim, then no, there wouldn't be votes for more government and more regulation and more safety nets and more taking care of. No, you don't think that way. I don't think that way. But now everyone is getting into the system. And right. When they get spat out of college, what are they thinking? Here's what I want. I want more government telling more people what to do, not more freedom.
And by the way, when they get into the workforce, it does change them back a little bit.
Oh,
pretty quick.
If they have to start a business or they attempt to start a business. Yeah. Or
even just work in the world, they support themselves.
Right. But if you want to know where this is coming from, this is where it's coming from.
That's part of it. I totally agree with you. There's another piece, and this is a little more subtle, but you correct me, because I always wonder, what is it in the federal government that philosophically pushed them
in this direction? And by the way, government is there to franchise government.
Right. Bureaucracy builds bureaucracy.
They just build. They just grow. There's a new set of rules every year. They just keep going. That's all.
All right, let me remind everybody of Pluto TV, the leading free streaming television service. Watch over 100 TV channels, thousands of movies on demand, all free. It is Pluto. It should be called Pluto Free TV. Never asked for a credit card. They don't even have you sign up, so they don't even know you have the app. Easy, completely legal way to watch your favorite TV shows, hit movies for free. You should not wait. You should be doing it right now. You should never pay for TV again, and you will not if you download that Pluto TV. You just go to the App Store. Download the app, and instantly the menu comes up, scrolls through hundreds of TV channels, thousands of movies, exactly the way you're used to seeing on your cable set. And you can download Pluto TV for free on all your favorite devices. Do so now, including your phone, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, Smart TVs, PlayStation. Anywhere else you stream is where you put that Pluto TV. And you will not be paying for TV again if you get used to Pluto TV. And you can also check out the Chassis channel. Some of the Corolla docs there up on channel 585.
All right. Drew, your thought.
So my thought is that the federal government was there was a lot of restrictions on federal authority. I mean, there was, you know, whether even getting a constitution was a mess. I mean, obviously the Federalist Papers was considered the greatest argument on behalf of having a federal system. We fought a civil war to keep our states in a more perfect union alignment. I think
– oh, a lot of this is chick think too.
Yeah.
Because they're more into being taken care of.
Okay. That makes sense. But I think some of the great errors in our system, including the compromise over slavery and the repeal of the Missouri Compromise, what happened in Reconstruction was they returned the privilege of states' rights to the states who perpetrated horrors. They did during Reconstruction after the Civil War. And I feel like that was such an extraordinary mess when the federal government evacuated its responsibility during Reconstruction and allowed horrible things to happen on behalf of the Union and the rights of states, that by the time we got to the Civil Rights Act in the 60s, there was sort of an agreement that, man, we can't really leave it to a lot of stuff to the states. And we just kept going from there. Mm-hmm. We just kept going. And now we can't leave anything to the states. Now everything has to be dictated by the federal government. And we have to push that back. We have to roll that back, I think. That's just humbly what I think is the issue here. The historical pendulum is too much to the states. They misused it in the South. We got to step in. We got to make this right. And we need to keep going.
Yeah, obviously where you notice it most, or where I notice it most, is California in building. Each few years that pass, it's like if you wanted to build something, the footing, the pad that it was going on, went from 16 inches by 16 inches by 16 deep. And then it went to 2 foot wide and 2 foot across and then 16 deep. And then it went to 4 foot by 4 foot by 2 foot deep. Like it's weird because I had the past. I saw it all the way through. Yeah. You know, I did it back in the day. I do it now.
Yeah.
And I have conversations with engineers that are like, oh, it's a 5 foot by 5 foot pad, 2 foot deep, number five, 7 pieces of number five rebar. I'm like, number five rebar? When did that? It was always number four. It's always number four. Number four's half inch. Number five's 5/8. Like, oh, no, it's number five now, and it's 7 pieces of seven. Number five, it used to be 4 pieces of number four that were at the bottom of the pad, or 2 pieces of number. Now it's seven. Yeah, going that direction, then seven going there. And this poor guy, I keep stopping him all the time going, wait a minute, this is nuts. You just keep.
Is this earthquake overkill?
Every earthquake, everything's overkill. But the point is it doesn't stop and it never goes back.
Right.
It's just. It was number four rebar. Yeah. Now it's number five rebar. It will be number six rebar. Mm-hmm. And they never take their foot off the accelerator. Why should they, by the way? That's not,
it's not their thing.
Just doing what they do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's up to us to stop voting these idiots in and start trying to shrink it a little bit.
Jesus.
I don't, when you build and you realize how the incredible overkill. Listen, there's two things. I know everything about building and I'm very reasonable. This is insane overkill. Insane. It's insane, redundant overkill. It is way beyond the pale. Way beyond. And of course, you can say, well, so what's it going to hurt? Well, I'll tell you what, it hurts. It costs a lot of money. I couldn't financially pull this off if I wasn't in a good position financially. I mean, I just couldn't do it. There wouldn't be any building.
Right.
That's what's going on.
Right. And that's when young people complain about the cost of housing in this area. There you go.
Yes. It's impossible. Yeah. And look, there are a whole bunch of structures a block away from here that were built in the 40s that have seen every earthquake and have little to no reinforced concrete, or no big pads and number five rebar and Simpson straps and hold downs and all thread. There's like that's none of it. No, they just sit there.
Yeah.
They're fine.
And by the way,
how far do we have to go?
If you have a problem taking the risk associated with that, you can do something different.
Yes.
They don't trust us to do that.
No, they don't. Jeff, 34, Jackson, Wyoming. I've told everybody a million times, listen, all you renters that are getting rent control and whatever, you're loving it. Go buy something and try to build something and then get back to me. Tell me what you think. All right. Sorry,
Adam,
Jeff.
Get it on.
What's going on, man?
Get it on.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to enter and say that I got to see you in Salt Lake City, Adam, and you were great. I really appreciated you coming out and everything.
Oh, thanks. And thanks for coming out.
From Jackson.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, Wyoming. We made the drive down, and we really had a good time.
Was it
even with with a snorter repeater behind me, which was amazing. Snorted every joke you made and then repeated your joke.
I heard if you're funny
in that environment, I think you're always going to be funny.
Was it a three-hour drive for you or more?
It was more.
How long was it?
It was four and change.
Oh, okay. I do have a recollection of talking to you about this. Is that correct?
No, there were probably others from up here. I
mean, oh, maybe, you know, there were, live, maybe there were.
Live comedy.
Four and a half hours.
We need to go to Jackson, Adam, and do a bet.
Yeah.
During ski season.
You definitely sell it out up here. People love this sort of thing, and we don't get it.
Jackson's so
I appreciate you coming to Salt Lake.
Beautiful.
That was awesome.
You been to Jackson Hole?
No.
Oh, my God. It's so beautiful. Ridiculous.
Sorry. So go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, just a quick question. I've listened to you for a long time, and I know this is really just for Adam. Dr. Dre, I have a pretty good idea what your answer is going to be. But had you not found comedy, or rather had you failed in comedy, which is frankly the odds, where would have you ended up? I know you were a contractor, but I also know you said you kind of saw the writing on the wall with how that was working. Have you ever contemplated that and thought weird. About it's, what would have become of you?
Weird he's asking this. I just explained to my son, we had a long talk this morning, I just explained to him your history about your giving yourself until you were 30 and at the 11th hour something happening.
Yeah, I was going through that recently when I was hanging with Jimmy and sort of talking to him about Kevin and Bean and all that. I think we must have talked about that. But it was interesting that when Jimmy made his post on Facebook or whatever it was, he talked about in January of 1994, like packing up his pile of shit Mazda RX-7 and coming out here to relocate or to meet with or whatever. And I was like, he was heading for Kevin and Bean. We were on a sort of collision course because it was March of that same year. I mean, it was just, literally 7-8 weeks later after the earthquake and blah, 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 that while Jimmy was heading out to K-Rock from, I guess he was out in Phoenix at the time, I was heading that way too. As far as my life, I would love my favorite thing to do is to collaborate. What I would hope that I would have been able to do is work at some. I was attracted to commercials, TV commercial, like making a funny TV commercial. I always thought there was an art in a 1 minute funny TV commercial. Like it took more skill than making an hour long something that's funny because it's really condensed and you have to get all these ideas across really quickly and everyone has to know right where they are. Mm. And I always pictured myself sitting around a big board table I of course couldn't type, so I pictured there'd be somebody at the end of the table who could type and I'd be sitting around with a bunch of guys and we'd be ordering Chinese food and like brainstorming on a funny Bud Light commercial or something.
But the reality is you would have been doing contracting work.
Probably would have been doing contracting work because I didn't have any education and I didn't have any understanding. I would have not known how to get into that world.
Right. And I would have been lost without my profession. I didn't even want to think about what would happen to me.
Well,
it just gave me purpose and structure and all the things I needed.
I gotta say, getting back to this overall sort of discussion we're talking about, this, being provided for, having the government take care of you kind of thing, this sort of sad longing that many weak people and a growing number of people have in this country sort of being taken care of. And believe you me, the politicians have heard what the people are saying. All I've heard is free school and free healthcare and free this. And, we're going to get rich people to give their money. And I was listening to Elizabeth Warren, maybe Gary can find the clip of it. But like when she talks about like the rich people, she gets really sing-songy and condescending, and she's like, she's talking about the wealth tax. And she's like, you billionaires can just give 3 cents, and it's always like, Yeah, from the money that's already been taxed. Like this no, it's so disingenuous, you know, to go like, "Oh, you ate a meal at my restaurant and I tacked on a $50 surcharge to your meal and now I want $3 more and then I start at the $3. I go, "You can't just give me $3?" Like, "No, I gave you $50. I'm saying I don't want to give you $3 more. That'll make it $53. "Well, what's wrong with just the $3? You just give us $3? Like, you're rich.
And
you
by the way, it's not just $3. It's like, I want $3 worth of your automobile. I'm going to have ownership in your stuff."
I know. So, like, you can't. And
not just your income, your stuff.
At some point, she goes like, "Oh, you work hard. I get it." Like, yeah, I do work hard. These guys do work hard. Why are you getting all sing-songy about working hard? Yes, these billionaires chose to work a lot of weekends and holidays. They'll all tell you the story. So you got to get all like sing-songy, like, "You don't deserve." Like, really? Interesting.
It's something you used to complain about with the Obama administration about, "Well, who made the roads and who built the infrastructure that you got to drive on?"
Oh, thank you, government. So you're right. Take more money. And I wish you made some better roads. We have an LA airport that's not really usable. You need more money? Like, what's up? Sorry. You got Obama doing that? Liz Warren did that. She was talking about the wealth tax and wanting just a few cents and hey, listen. By the way, if I thought redistribution worked, I'd be down for it. I'm fine. It doesn't work. You don't help people by just giving them stuff.
Grew up with that.
I grew up with it. It does not. It makes the people weak. It's good if the person has a physical disability or something, but if they're able-bodied, you've now ruined an able-bodied person. Do we not? The science is not in on that, Drew? No?
It should be an ethical misconduct.
Is there anything else about Warren you can give me? Is this at a like?
No, I literally don't want to hear it.
Okay.
It literally would be. Skin crawl.
Is she on TV or is she doing a speech?
I don't remember. She's just talking about the wealth tax and she's talking about what's wrong with a couple of bucks.
It's
and
a stump speech.
She kind of does say, I get it. You work hard. You know, we all work hard. Also, it's also disingenuous to do work. Like, people do that thing with me all the time. Like, you don't think a roofer works hard? Of course they work hard. First off, attention assholes. I did all of the work, you idiots. People treat me like your daddy, rich man, went to college, silver spoon. They're so in that mode that they try it on me.
Yeah.
Because they're like, "Oh, you're rich guy, and you're white, and you're daddy, and you know, you don't know what it's like." Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Did it, done it, been there, done that. Worked hard, got out of that because the work was too hard. It's not these people work hard. Yeah, I worked at McDonald's. I worked hard. I stood over the grill. It's all I did was the grill.
Run a hot mop ever?
Sweep and a mop or the grill. When things slowed down, I cleaned. When things sped up, it was standing over the griddle. Okay, I got $2.80 an hour. It was hard. And I realized I don't want to do this. Be difficult to drive a sports car and do this. All right, let me hit Simply Safe, thinking about home security. No better time than now. This week, Simply Safe's offering my listeners a huge exclusive deal for Black Friday. 25% off any new system, plus free HD security camera. Everything you need to keep your home safe. Entry sensors, motion sensors, video doorbells, smart lock that locks your doorbell. Locks your doors when you forget. Wow, what about technology, man? Plus, 24/7 professional monitoring that dispatches police 3 to 5 times faster. We all have it here. You should get it there. Peel and stick, up and running in under an hour. Order everything you need on the website. Batteries last up to 10 years. You don't have to drill. You don't have to pull wires. Don't wait. Go to simplysafe.com/Adam2. That's simplysafe.com/Adam2. 25% off. Plus, free security camera. Don't miss the amazing Black Friday sale. It's a deal. simplysafe.com/Adam2. All right. Oh, you got the Obama clip? Okay. Well, we can hear that one.
Hold your head. Ooh.
is that? There we go.
Everything on the internet's screwy and weird. Gary's got a little computer problem. All right, Drew, what are your thoughts?
I want to get more calls. Get more calls. Or at least one more call.
Okay. Well, just pull down the clip there. Let me hop on the phones. That's fine, Gary. Just pull it. Let's just see. Fine. What do you want to do?
Line four.
Line four. Steve, 49, Cincinnati.
Hey, guys. Big fan.
What's going on?
Like my dad used to say, do it right or do it again.
Yeah.
And I love that. So I continue with that. But on a lighter note, the question I had for you, Adam, you're funny. Drew, you're not. And you've probably had this uncomfortable situation when somebody's telling a joke and then you get it, or you're telling the joke and the person doesn't get it. My question to you guys is, whose fault is that? Is it the joke teller or the person who simply doesn't get it?
Well, be aware.
It's both.
That,
it can be both.
Right.
You have to figure it out. And then my job as a comedian, and I have told that, I've said that thing on stage before where I go, no son should have to bury a father, and nobody laughs. And I get it. They don't process it. They don't understand what I'm saying. That's on me. Yeah. I understand. It's
sometimes you do it just to enjoy it.
It's technically funny, but I don't expect a laugh, and I don't do it on stage. Now, when I wrote Not Taco Bell Material, or In 50 Years We'll All Be Chicks, I can't remember which one. I think it was Not Taco Bell Material. I had this humongous argument with my publisher and my agent because it was a picture of me on a construction site from back in the day. And Gary can probably find it. And it said, this is me back in the day as a carpenter, when I was a carpenter, just like Jesus. Except I didn't gouge the elderly. And my publisher went, there is nothing in the Old Testament or New Testament about Jesus gouging the elderly.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I had this conversation. And then Baby Doll got on the phone. He's like, baby, I agree with them. We couldn't find anything.
Oh, my God.
It's a joke book. But baby, there's nothing in the old or the new. She was telling me there's nothing. And I was going, are you nuts? Oh. Are you nuts? And she was like, hey, we don't get it. And we want to change it. And I was like, and also they were like underlining the wrong words in it. Like I see the underline I wasn't and they're like, yeah, but he didn't gouge the elderly. I'm like,
oh my God,
holy fucking shit. You guys preside over words? This is your fucking job? This is your brain?
Yeah.
It's a whole book of jokes. So right, in that particular case, I was like, fuck you. You guys are imbeciles.
And 30% of people, for mostly genetic reasons, actually don't possess a sense of humor. So it's actually true. And let's say
I grew up with my mom.
It's a small
– I got a fucking you know, it's a better sense of humor than my mom. One of those fucking plastic changing tables in a bathroom at an airport. They have a more evolved sense of humor than my mom. Oh, so, you want to look at it? Sorry.
Let's say it's 10% or 20%, but it's not. It's look at that. That's funny.
He was just like Jesus, except I wanted to underline he didn't gouge the elderly. I had conversations with adults who were college educated who were explaining to me that they didn't get this joke because there is no history of Jesus gouging the elderly.
So Drew, you're saying that there's a part of the brain, 10% of the people is screwed up.
Well, yeah. I mean, we know it. Well, it's not funny. We know autistic people have real difficulty with humor, for instance. That's the more extreme situation.
Now maybe we need to get some
jokes. Well, but the autistic are funny too.
They have trouble with humor, and that's part of the syndrome.
That was a joke. I know.
Yeah. And so, but what is more interesting to me, Adam, is missing the build-up to a joke, which I always do.
Yeah.
I don't see a joke coming.
Well, everything needs a context. First thing, you just got done writing a book with a comedian.
No.
I know you. I'm saying these. Please have a context.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm right. I'm making a joke. Also, the absurdity of Jesus gouging the elderly.
Right.
It's not.
You don't go. It's
not permeated your brain. That doesn't sound absurd to you. And you explaining that there's no cases that we've been able to uncover where he did actually gouge the elderly.
It's beyond.
You're making my argument for my joke.
It's beyond.
It's a real conversation with multiple people.
Crazy.
Gary, does this sound as insane to you too as it does to me? Or I wonder if I'm being just gaslit sometimes as I go through this.
That world. One did feel like you were being punked.
Oh, I.
Right?
Yeah. 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 That one felt like there was, you know, maybe.
Cameras
you know,
running.
Exactly. Kimmel's also on the conference call and a room full of people. I mean,
Matt can probably find an email.
Oh, no, I know.
Not in real time.
I know from reality.
For tomorrow's show, maybe. All right.
Let me talk about LifeLock. Remain vigilant, everybody. Take precautions this upcoming Black Friday. We're on virtually the eve of it. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody, by the way. Mm. Cyber criminals are trying to exploit the retail feeding frenzy. They will. Be aware of holiday scams and malicious cyber campaigns when you're even browsing online. And, of course, when you're shopping and giving up your information to make a purchase, which we like. We like to do it, but you need something like LifeLock. Important to understand how cybercrime is affecting our lives. Identity theft, yet another issue. Someone's identity is stolen every 2 seconds. And you could miss certain identity threats. If you're only monitoring your credit, lots of ways they can get at it. Good thing there is LifeLock. LifeLock detects a wide variety of identity threats, like, for instance, your social security number for sale on the dark web. That's why it's a good thing we have LifeLock, right, Matt?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats that you might miss on your own. Until December 8th, join and get a special discount. Save 30% or more off your first year by using promo code ADAM. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code ADAM for 30% off or more.
All right. We're going to take tomorrow off, Thanksgiving off. Mm-hmm. We'll be back on Friday. Enjoy your holidays. And also see me live in Reno December 7th doing stand-up, and then Oxnard Levity Live December 13th and 14th. Lots of live shows coming up at adamcarolla.com. And then you can also go to Chassy, C-H-A-S-S-Y, and see all the car docs that are there, and lots of good stuff. So check that out, Drew.
Check out my website, drdrew.com. Sign up at drdrew.tv. Sign up at the contact list at drdrew.com. It's all there.
So till next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahala.
This is Carolla Digital.
Pluto TV, the leading free streaming television service. Watch over 100 channels and thousands of movies on demand completely free. Pluto TV never asks for a credit card. You don't even need to sign up to watch for free. Pluto TV is easy. It's completely legal. And it's the best way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies for free. You never pay for TV again by downloading Pluto TV. Not sure what you're waiting for. You can be rolling in a matter of moments. Download Pluto TV for free on all your favorite devices. Do it today, including your phone and Roku and Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStations, and anywhere else you stream. And also, don't forget about my channel, Chassy, C-H-A-S-S-Y, Chassy Channel. Number 501, it is the best. It is Pluto TV.